Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Benachos Peches. We are holding around 10 lines off the top at the two dots. So this connects with the Brisa that we learned yesterday, which enumerated the seven various measuring units used for liquids, for lach. Now, in the Brisa, interestingly, we had the same listing presented twice. Just they were presented in different orders. So, meaning, Rabbi Yehuda's setup was from the smallest measure. You started with revius and went up to chatzilug, and progressively went up till the largest, which is the hin. That was Rabbi Yehuda's setup. Rabbi Meir placed it in a different order. He started with the biggest, the hin, down to chatzi hin, to a third, all the way down to revius. Halugan, the obvious question is, Ma'ika, says the Gemara, Ma'ika, what is the difference? Any practical difference between the two sheeted? They seem to have some sort of machlokes. But then they go and they offer the same list, just in different orders. But ultimately, it's the same seven measuring units. Ma'ika bein, what is the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan, let me explain to you. There's a subtle difference, which is, you know, reflected in their sequencing and the way they ordered their units. Amar Yechan Birutze. Birutze are the spillovers, the sort of the heap, the heaping liquid that which rises above the actual rim, which sometimes spills over the sides when we're less than careful, or when we try to pour from a larger container into a small container. It's hard to contain the heap portion. The question is whether that is included. Is that Kaddish? Is that considered contained in the klisharis? Does that become kaddish as well? That will be the difference between the two shittos. The one that began his list from the smallest and made his way up to the biggest. He started with revius, to chatzi, to log. It's because he holds birutzi amides niskachu. Right? Because when you, just like when you pour from smallest to biggest, when you go from small to big, you can contain the birutzim as well, right? You take a small shot glass, right? So even if it's a bit heaping, if you have a larger container, you just spill it right over and it all goes in there. And so on and so forth. If you work that way, you go progressively up, it contains the birutzim because they are kaddish. And the listing of his measurements, of the measuring units, correspond to the way Hashem actually instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to establish these units. Urevius Yohev Le Rachman LaMoshe. Hashem initially gave Moshe Rabbeinu Urevius Halug. Look, this is going to be called a Urevius Halug. Okay, that was a starting point. And he used the Urevius to then develop the Chatzi, to then develop the Lug. Right? He would pour two times Urevius into the next container. There you get a Chatzi Lug. Takes two of those into the next one, he gets a Lug. But the starting point was that single Urevius that Hashem gave him. Vomerlin Hashem instructs him, Sha'er, you measure based on this one, and go progressively bigger and bigger. In which case, the message was, keep the birutzin, in the fold. They are also kaddish. So that's reflected in the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who begins with the smallest and makes his way up to the largest. The birutzin are meant to be included, whereas according to Rameyer, Lamanda Omer Malamato, it begins with the largest measurement, the hin, and then drops down to chatzi, etc. Malamato, because he holds the Beirutze Midas, the spillovers, the heaps of the Midas, Leniskach, were not Kaddish. And the system was established exactly the opposite way. The hin, the reason why he begins with the first one as the hint, because that's reflective of the way Hashem established it with Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave him a hint. Look, take this hint and work your way down. Half of this is chatzi, quarter of that is, right? And he tells him, Sheher Ba, use this instrument for your measurements. In which case, when you spill from large to small, the birutin just spill out. Is you can't contain the kanaf can be birutin, they just spill away because they're not really part and parcel of the interior content. So that's Rabbi Yechon's take on things. There is a nafkamina, there is a machloikis regarding the berutzen. Abaye Omar, Abaye disagrees. The Kuli Alma, you know, this berutzen factor is not really contingent upon these two shittos. All can hold one way or the other. That's not the point of contention. The Kuli Alma berutzen amidus regarding the berutzen, the heap. Ikala Meimon is kachur. You know, you can speculate that it is kadosh. Ikala Meimon, you can speculate that it is kachur. It's not kadosh. Rather, the difference of opinion over here relates to a different point. Vacha b'maleim kamifski. The Torah describing the content of the klishara says shnei maleim soyves, they're filled. We learn that it has to be full with the proper quantity. Let's say it's missing something; it doesn't work. It's not kadosh. But what about if it's overfull? There's too much in there. Malayim kamifliki. So if it has the right measure, the right amount that you need, fine. But what if it has too much? Manda amar melamala lamata. So according to Rav Meir, who started with the larger measurement and made his way down, because he holds malayim, when the pasuk instructs, klei sharos have to be filled in order to be activated, shelo yachsar v'shelo yoser, it can't be missing or have extra. So how does that relate to the order of the measurements? Rashi explains. Because if you go from small to big, for instance, in order to get to the chatzi halug, you fill a revius once, spill it in. You fill a revius again, spill it in. Inevitably, there's going to be too much in there. Why? Rashi explains, because you can never be exact. You can't be sure you're going to fill it perfectly, so you have to add another drop or two, right? To ensure that you filled it to the brim, that you filled it properly, you topped it up to, right? So, if you just fill a chatzi halug straight away, so you have one drop extra to ensure that it's, you know. But if you're going to fill a revius, and you're going to add a drop there to make sure that it's full, put it into the chatzi halug, then do that same thing again. You're going to add two extra drops, where typically you would only add one extra. So that gives you more than you need, and that's not acceptable. Rather, you start with the large measurement, which takes you the other way around. So you go from large to small. Let's say you go from the chatzi halug and you use that to create a revius by splitting into two. Don't have extra there. You only have one extra drop for the chatzi halug to make sure that it was filled, and then you split that into two. So there's no extra material. That's Rameir's approach. That the mida has to have exact amount. Not less, not more than necessary. Uman de Omer Matalamala. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way, starts from small to big. He holds, it can have a drop more, even if the measurement fills a little bit more than needed. Malayim just Mishalo Yachsa, I can't be missing material. Aval Yoizeb, it has more than necessary. It's still called Malayim Karim. We can apply Malayim to that. Okay, so we have two ways to explain the Machlekes. Between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, which was indicated in their sequencing of the measurements. Either it's a Beirutzen question or a Malayim question. Amar Mar. Okay, let's go back and review. Rav Shimon Oimer, he says, let's delete the Hin measurement. L'yayisham Hin. What for? It was meant for one-time use in the Midbar. L'yayisham Hin HaMishcha. Says the Gemara, well, it almost sounds like he's just negating the whole thing. What's the purpose? Shapir Ka'amalu Rav Shimon Rabban. His position seems to be substantiated. What's the purpose of the hin? There's no carbon that needs a hin of material. V'rabbanan, they respond, well, let's go back to the Midbar. Have a hin. The Avad Moshe, the Shemen HaMishcha, of course. Moshe Rabbeinu made the hin for the Shemen HaMishcha, the Chsiv, which needs that exact amount of oil. 12 luk. V'shemen zayis hin. Okay? So needs that amount of oil. Mar Savar, well, Rav Shimon holds, Kivan de Ladoiris Lehavat Sarach, since it wasn't needed for future generations, it was a one time event. Lefisho, the Avdiv Ignas, fine, it was made for that time, and then it was put away, it was never used again, it was never, you know, wasn't active again. Vidach, the Rabban hold, Kivan de Havahava, once it was there, it was introduced, it stayed on the roster, and it was considered one of the seven midas. Amar. Now, even Rav Shimon, who deleted the hin, agreed that we have to replace it with something else. And that was the 1.5 log measurement for the chavitin, as we learned yesterday. So what am I going to put it instead? That was his question, and he answered, who says we need a replacement? Who says we need seven? Like Sagi, it's not sufficient to lay ma'ayil, that isn't introduce another replacement. Ravina, the answer is, there was a tradition that it's seven measuring units, just as we find in a similar context. Ravina teaches us, Gemiri, we have a tradition, a Kabbalah, a teaching, Shtei Smichas B'Tzibur, that typically a Karban Tzibur does not experience smicha, the leaning on the Karban, which is typically something that a private owner does, but not B'Tzibur, except for, there were two exceptions. Two Karbanis, which had a smicha. One is the Soir HaMishtaleach HaNim Kippur, the one that's sent away, and one is Par Helam Davashal Tzibur. If the Tzibur errors, seriously, they have to bring a Karban, they have to do smicha. Hachanami. So in similar fashion, regarding measuring units, Gemiri, we have Halacha Mishnah Sinai. The Sheva Midei Shalach, the Midrash featured seven Midei Shalach, seven measuring units for liquids. The number is absolute, exact. And if you want to delete the hin, sure, but you have to find a replacement, which he did. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, there were no seven separate measuring units. Shnasa Yisrael Behin, there was a large measuring container, a hin, which had marks indicating various levels. This is the log, this is the for the last Leshav Amidah, so he doesn't subscribe to the Lachal Meshav Yisina of the seven measurements. Says the Gemara, either he can say, yeah, Lesley, he disagreed with the concept, or you can say, he fully agreed. But he had a different interpretation. Ma Sheva Midas, when we say Sheva Midas, Sheva Medidas, seven forms of measurement. But it could be all in the same container. Now the Mishnah will teach us the enumerate the functions, the purposes of these various measurements. Revius. So the Revius Halog, what was his function, what was his purpose? Revius, my Matzer. The Matzer needs a Revius of fresh water to dip in his, right? The bird there, right? Hurvi is Shemen Lenazar, and the Nazar, for his breads, he needs a Rvi is a lug of oil to mix into his breads. What about the Chatzilug? Ma, Hoye Meshamash, what was that for? Chatzilug, that's the Maim Lesoita, for the Soita to drink. But Chatzilug, they have a lug of the oil, a Shemen for the Latoita, for the Toita breads. What about the lug itself? So we're sort of progressing upwards. What about the lug? Well, lug of Yemoy, the Chomanaches. Lug was standard fare. A lug of oil for your typical mincha. A mincha which has a sar and a flour, a lug of oil. Now, according to the Chachamim, if you expand on the flour, you donate a mincha of two isarin, then you do a double dose of lug of oil as well, two lug, etc., etc. A filu mincha shall samach isarin. You can have a big, huge mincha, a bowl containing 60 isarin of flour, which is 60 times as much as standard. All you multiply the oil accordingly. No, he's saying lod samach lug. According to Blazer and Yaakov, I'm according to him, no. Oil always stays the standard lug, irrespective of the amount of flour you have in there. No, he's saying lod afilu mincha shal samach yisarn. Even if the mincha contains 60 yisarn of flour, this is all based on the pesukim. We'll see later in the Gemara. Ein lo luga. All you give is a lug of oil. Shenemar le mincha v'lug shemen. No matter what the mincha is, it's always a lug of shemen. Okay, so according to him, a lug is absolute. According to Rabbanon, it's commensurate to the amount of flour. The mincha v'lug shemen. Now, if you have a carbon, a par, a cow, you bring six a lug of oil, which is the half of the hin. Hin is 12. Shisha la par, six for the par. And for that we needed the chatzi lug measurement, right? What about the third of a lug, the shlishis halug, right? Shlishis hin. That's for the aisle, of our barla aisle. A third of a hin is 12 lug, a third is four lug for the aisle. Shlishis lekeves, the keves, the The ram needed 4 and the kevas, the sheep needed 3. 3 is a quarter of a log, so that's the quarter of a log measuring unit for that. Okay, what's on the topic of measurements, says the Mishnah, how much oil in total was used for the menorah on a nightly basis? 3.5 log. Shloisha o mechtel menorah, because each lamp needed a half a log. Chatzi log, l'chol ner, for each ner, which was deemed sufficient to last you through the night. Now, the Mishnah spoke about the revius being used for the mitzvah, for the nazir. Yosef Rebbe Vikokashi, the Rebbe had a question on this. Revius Lama Nimshach, why did they anoint? Why did they sanctify the revius measurement? Why was it considered one of the seven measurements and sanctified for that purpose? To sanctify, to mekadesh its content. E mitzvah, is it to measure up the water for the mitzvah? So it's been one Amid Beis. Chutzu, well, it was done outside the Azorah, it was done by the entranceway, the Shar Niknar. So, we don't need to be Mekadosh the water, it's not a carbon. The Nazir, is it for the oil of the Nazir, for his bread? Well, in any case, it's not going to be Kaddish until later. Lechem, the Lechem of the Nazir, Bishchitas Ailu de Kaddish, it becomes Kaddish when you shech the carbon. So what's the point of being Mekadosh the oil before? Amalei Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya, who came from Babel, and now was in Eretz Yisrael, turned to Rabbi, he says, I have an answer. Shabbat Yomoy did the Chavit Kohen Gadol. Remember, the Chavit Kohen Gadol was split, right? You have an Isar and a flower split into two, half for the morning, half for the evening. The oil as well was 3 lug of oil split into two, 1.5 for the morning, 1.5 in the afternoon. Now, each dose, so to speak, each installment had 6 breads for 12 in total. So you have to take the lug and a half and split it amongst the 6 breads, which equaled a quarter a lug per bread, and that's why we needed a quarter lug measurement. Shabbat Yomoy did chavit lechavit gan gadol. Rabbi Yishemin, that much oil chol for each chala b'chala. Rabbi was so excited by this answer. Currently applied to him the pasuk in Yeshaya, Me'eretz Merchak, a man who came from a faraway land. Isha Tzas is here to provide for me clarity to resolve my shaila in a satisfactory way. Chatzi lugmay meshamish. Next question was regarding the next midah, the chatzi lug. What's it for? Yosef Rebbe Vikokashi. Rebbe had the same question again. Chatzi lug lo menimshach. What's the purpose of the chatzi lug? Why is it a klisharis? What is it coming to be makadish? E saita, e this saita. Is it for the water of the saita? Well, in any case, it's already holy water. It's from the kiyar, from the tank containing the holy water. Is the water mundane? The tzrich l'kedusha, which needs to be sanctified by way of this kli. Vayim kedoshim, because the Torah clearly instructs us to use holy water. It's already holy beforehand. What's the purpose? Is it for the oil of the toida breads? Once again, the same question as before. What's the purpose of being mekadesh so early in the process? Lachmi toida, the breads of the toida, b'shchidas toida, the kachi, they get kedusha later on. So what do we need the chatzi lug as a klisharis? Amalei Rabbi Shimon Rebbe. So Rabbi's son Rabbi Shimon responded like this. It's meant for the menorah, actually. Shabbat Yom Machalik chatzi lug shem l'chol ner v'ner. Right, for the menorah, you need a half a lug per lamp. And what did they use for that? The chatzi lug container. Amalei. So once again, Rebbe was so excited by the answer, he called him Ner Yisrael. The light of Yisrael provided this enlightenment. Kachaya, right on, you're right. It makes sense what you're saying. Interestingly, Tosfos brings a similar response, a similar expression that Rebbe had in Maseches Erechin, where again he had a question and his son responded. This was regarding the Kiddush HaChodesh, regarding the Levana, wanted to do a. And again, responded with this type of response. He says, Ner Yisrael, he called him. The light of Yisrael. So Tosfos says, because in both cases, Mishum da'ayri b'midah da'ayra, the topic of discussion is something to do with light. Kigoyin hacha, b'neiris, like the candles of the menorah over here, v'asim b'levan over there, the light of the moon. And that's why this expression is apropos. Ner Yisrael, kachoy. Amar b'yechon, amar Rebbe. Rabbi Yechon quotes Rabbi now, and he says, Ner Shekafsa, suppose you notice that one of the lamps, one of the flames on the menorah, went out in the middle of the night. You have to relight it. It has to be lit at least until morning. But can I reuse the same wick and oil? No, Nidashin Hashem, Nidashin Apsila, everything is like burnt out material. It's used material. It's like Deshen, right? Deshen means it's like burnt out. The oil, the psila, the wick, you have to replace that all. Ketzadoisa, so what do you do? Mativa, you clean it out. Venoisin Bashem and Madlikan, you refill it with oil and relight it. Yosef Rabbi is Rika becoming boilers. Rabbi Zik had a question. Does he refill it from bottom to top, or does he just replace the missing oil? Let's say it went out middle of the night, so half the oil was burned already and half is left. Do we replace the entire amount? Perhaps there's a din that you have to go and put in a full, chatzilug. That's a half. You have to fill the menorah, or do you only replace half the amount that was been burnt down, that was left over that you cleaned out? You have to replace that part. That's it. Yosef Rabbi Zrika became boy. He had a question. Kshunoisim b'Hashem, when he goes and puts in the oil, how much? Could be the Rishona, like the original amount. He puts in another chatzilug. Okay, my shochasha. Or did he just replace what he took out, what was left over? Amar Abiram Yapshita, of course, is Rabbi Yehuda. The Kmita Rishoyna is the original Chatzilug. Why? The Iyikam Ashachasra, if he's just replacing the part that was left, that was cleaned out, Mano Yadina and Maichisa, how you can ever know how much that was? Was it 2 ounces? Was it 3 ounces? Vachitim and the Masharle, perhaps you have to measure it up. Empty out the cup, put it in a measuring cup, see how much is left. 4 ounces? Okay, then put back 4 ounces of new oil. If that's the case, the Misharalim can Sheva Midois, so why does the Mishnah suffice with just 7 measuring units? You have to make a million. Nafashlu Midois too, you have to have many measuring cups. Because let's say you discover that you have to put back 4 ounces, you have to have a measuring cup of 4 ounces, etc., etc., because each one has to be, have a measuring unit which corresponds to its volume. Koreolei. So, Rabbi Zrika, when he heard this answer, he was very impressed. He found favor in his eyes, and he says to him, "Ah, va'adorcha tzlach, your beauty, your prestige, your hatzlacha." He blessed him. Neshav hatzlacha, rochav advar emes, vam vetzedek, should ride up and get to the highest point and the highest heights of Torah, of clarity and of truth. Itmar Nami, likewise, just as Rabbi Yechon tells us, that you have to clean it out and replace the material. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yechon, we have another halacha, another quote from Rabbi Yechon, Amar Lassam, Amar Abba, Amar Chanina, Amar Rabbi, the name of Rabbi. Likewise, Ner Shekavsa, the lamp goes out, you have to replace the material in Dashin HaShemesh, Dashin HaPsilo, the Psilo is considered rejected, it's considered used and cannot be reused, and the Shemen as well, Ketzed Oisis, what does he do? Mativa cleans it out, Menoisim HaShemen, Kimidas, here we go. So here it's a clear dictation, clearly stating that he has to replace the oil as it was initially, the original chatzilug, and then he relights it. It's a right to Rabbi Yirmiyah's position. Amar Rav Huna, Bri David, Amar Rav Sheshet, Neshav Migdash. You should know that the lamps on the menorah in the Migdash shall prakam hava. They were sort of sections, meaning you can bend them, turn them downwards to empty out to clean them out, and then you put them back up to refill them. Why do they have to be part of the actual menorah itself? Why can't they be removable? Why does it have to be shalprakamav? Because he holds kiksev kikor miksha. When the pasuk describes the menorah as being made of a kikor, which is a certain amount of gold, and miksha had to be hewn out of one block, had to be one unit, inseparable. A menorah, v'neira se'oksiv. It doesn't only refer to the actual menorah and the, pipes, but the nearest lamps on top as well. And therefore, keeping them by atava, since it has to be cleaned out and handled, you love the prokem havi, if they weren't constructed in a way that you can bend them sideways, well, you have them atayvele. You couldn't do a proper job. So it had to be physically part of the menorah, but pliable in a way somehow that they can turn it sideways and clean it out. Meisa comes a kash. Ketzad oisa. So the Brisa describes the process of cleaning out the menorah. Mesalkon, he removes the cups, removes them, so they weren't removable. Umanicham ba'oil, and puts it into the oil, the Beis HaMikdash there. Umakanacha besvayg cleans them out with some sort of absorbent material. Benoisin b'shemen madlika and refills it with oil and lights it. Clearly, they could be removed. Says the Ohuda Makaitana. The earlier statement, where we learned that they cannot be removed, that's going to be consistent with another shita that in fact holds the nerus were part and parcel of the menorah itself, it cannot be removed. No, they wouldn't move the cups away. Well, says the Gemara, well, it sounds like they could. It sounds like if they want to move it away, Motzi Mazazla, you could move it away, that it wasn't physically really connected. And that again is not really consistent with what we're saying, that it's really part and parcel of the same. Ela'ema, rather, it means like this, La'ihoya Zazim Kaima. It really wouldn't move away because it was inseparable. So we modify the wording of the Brisa, consistent to the earlier statement that the Neirois, the cups, were really an integral part of the menorah and physically connected. Machacham Rav Lezvi, who is the Shita of the Chachamim, which Tana is it? Rav Lezvi, Lezvi of the son of Ayur, Sadek Oimer, he holds that, in fact, the Neiros were also part of the Kikar Zav, or part of the Miksha, and cannot be separated. So he describes the cleansing process like this. Lezvi of the Oimer, Kementas Shal Zav Ha'il Al Gaba, so we picture the lamps, the cups on top of the pipes, more like an oval, right? So these are the pipes, right? This is the goof of the menorah, the bottom menorah, then we have the lamp sticking out. And the wick protrudes from the corner, so it's an oval-shaped cup, right? And the wick comes out from the front, let's say, right? And on top there was like a toss, a little slat of some sort, cover. Kimitash al-Zov ha'ilal gabo, golden cover, shumativa. So when he needed to clean out the cup. You have to get it out of the way. So you would push this slat, this cover, towards the mouth, which is where the wick would typically come out. So it's away from the body, from the pipe, from the back of the cup, towards the front. So you push it away, get it sort of slide it up, and clean out the cup, and then we'd slide the lid back on. When he's ready to fill it with oil, he slides it back towards its head. Head means where it's connected to the menorah from its back, right? So it's connected, the back of this cup is connected to the menorah. So he pushes the slat back. And now it's covered. But as Rashi says, there was a little hole, a little access hole on that lid through which they would pour the oil. So again, clearly, there was no removal of the actual cup because it was considered part and parcel of the menorah's body. And really, it's a machlekes tanoi, we've looked on tanoi, the sanyo, menorah of a neiros seo, bois mina kikor. The menorah and its neiros and its cups came from the kikor, the same sort of block of gold. Ve'ein malkoche, machlekes mina kikor, but the tweezers and the little shovels, whatever, although they were gold, but they weren't really manufactured from the same block, it was a separate thing. Chami Oimer, menorah is above an akikar, only the menorah itself, but not v'leinir reseh u'malkecha machtoseh. Vayis min akikar. Those extra things, even the neiros, were not part of the akikar. V'maykeh mefzuki, what's the machlekes about? Vayikra, based on the pasuk, the sign, akikar zor tor yasa oisab. So the pasuk relates the kikar zar to everything in the menorah. And again, the kikar means the block of gold from which everything was hewn out as one mixture, right? As one, right? So, ulamadi, we learn from him, menorah, shibobin akikar, that the body of the menorah itself was designed from this kikar. Menayim rabbis neiros, say, what about the neiros? Talmud leimar, es kol hakelim ha'ela. And that covers even the neiros. What about the other utensils? Were they also made from this gold? Obviously, they're not going to be connected anymore because they're tweezers, but in a sense, they're still connected because they're sort of sourced from the same block of gold. So here it's a bit different. The body of the menorah and the nearest, according to the Shita, that comes from the kikar, that was one entity, one inseparable physical entity. But here the they came from perhaps that gold, part of that gold was used for this, but certainly it's a separate, you know, utensil. In any case, perhaps these were also sourced in that gold. Only it, which excludes the these utensils. Divrei Nechemya. So according to Nechemya in this brisa, the only thing that was from the kikar was the body of the menorah with the neiros, which were considered all physically connected. Okay, so here we go. We find the shita. That actually, considers the neiros as part and parcel of the menorah, and we're not separable, physically connected. That's from Nechemya Shita. And the previous brisa here was actually from Nechemya as well. And he said the neiros were not really part of the same kikar. So they didn't have to be mixture, they didn't have to be chiseled out from the same block. They were separate entities and could be separated from the neir as well when they needed to be cleaned out. Okay, so this is before we get to the next shita, which is coming up soon, right? I was looking at the second Tana. It's coming up soon, right? So again, the Gemara said, "Pluktani Tanoi." This question revolves around Machlekes Tanoim, and the question of whether the neiros are connected or can be disconnected is really another Machlekes Tanoim. So it began with the Braisa that the neiros are part. And Rechemi says neiros are not part. Okay, fine. So we have two shittas. Then the Gemara says, "Well, actually, let me explain to you what it's about. It's based on a pasuk." And then we introduce another brisa, which is meant to bring me those two shitas, right? And the sourcing. So far we had only one shita with one source. We began with Rav Nechemya again, that the neiros are together, and it's based on the pasuk, right? That Kol Kelim Eila tells you that the neiros are included as well. And in a minute, we're going to bring another shita, the opposing view, that the neiros are not part, and it's based on another diuk in the pasuk. It's coming soon. Before we continue, we seem to have a blatant contradiction. Within Rav Nechemya, the same person seems to be saying two opposite things. Because we just recently said, quote Rav Nechemya, the neiros are included. And earlier, if you back up a little bit, you'll see we have Rav Nechemya up there who says neiros were not an integral part of the menorah manufacturing process. It wasn't part of the mikshah. It came separate and could be separated. Kasha to Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya, what do we do with that contradiction between two Rav Nechemyas? There were two versions of his opinion. Trei Tanoi for Rav Nechemya, two Tanoim with differing, you know, versions of Rav Nechemya's opinion. Okay, now we continue to the opposing view and the opposing source. The neiros are not part, Rabbi Shuvan Karchoimer, Menorah is a kikar. Only Menorah itself was chiseled out of this block of gold, but nothing else. Vein Malkocher, Umachtesa, Vein Neiros, even the lamps, even the candles, even the cups, they were not from this same block of gold, Bois Menakik. Velomani Mikhaim is called Kelim Eila. What then does the pasuk refer to when it says all these Kelim are included? Shayu Kelim shows up. Simply to tell you that everything else has to be gold as well. So in terms of equating it to the Menorah, with respect to its material, respect to its gold, yes, but not more than that. Well, for that we don't need a pasuk. Zohar Bedik Sipay really has a pasuk telling us that all these were made of gold. Shiva, right? So the menorah was made with seven pipes and has a seven head. Umakochel, umachtaseh zav tor. Here we go. The other utensils are made of gold, so it's a clear pasuk. Lechuchal pineris. And the answer is that when the pasuk has to say "Kol Kelim Eila," it's coming to cover, to address the pineiros. the place where the wick sits, where the fire burns, and it sort of burns out and consumes the gold. So you sort of Sankatavina, perhaps I would say, Hoylu Pineres Ashkir Mashkar, I would think since that spot where the wick sits, the corner of that oval shaped cup, it blackens, it burns out. So maybe you don't have to use the best gold for that spot. Hatara Chasa, Al Mamanish Yisrael, Torah is concerned about unnecessary spending of Yiddish Geld. And therefore, perhaps, Vali Abed Zavet Kozov Kaldu, perhaps I can, that spot I can use for that, I can use even plain gold, not, you know, the best high quality gold. Kamash Malon, says the Pasuk, says, no, everything is gold, everything is the best gold. Even that spot. Okay. So bottom line is like this. We have an interesting Shaila. What is the status of the Neiris? Are they really part and parcel of the Bnei to the point that you can't separate them? Even when you clean them out, you just have to sort of lean them over, tip them over with some sort of apparatus that allowed for it. Or do we say, it's not really an integral part of the menorah, it's not part of the kikar, it's not part of the mikshah, and you can just remove it, clean it out, put it back. So that's a machlokes tanaim. It's based on the pasuk, how you learn the pasuk, which describes the making of the menorah, made from the kikar zov, mikshah, hewn out of a solid piece of gold. Is it included in the menorah as well? Now all agree that everything is made of gold. In fact, it has to be the highest quality gold. But the question is, what status do the menorahs have, part of the menorah, or are they separate entities? Okay, we discussed the various liquid measuring units. We discussed the status of the birutzin, status of malayim. Is it meant to be just filled, or perhaps even overfilled would be okay too? We discussed whether there was a hin l'doiris. We discussed the halacha mashmisin of sheva midos or sheva medidos, depending on how you learn. The function of the revias, the function of the chatzilug. And a machlokes regarding a bigger mincha, how many lugshamen does it have? We have Rabbi praising Rabbi Chia, praising his son Rabbi Shimon, Neri Yisrael. Interesting anecdote from Tosfos. We had Rabbi Zrika praising Rabbi Yirmiya, V'hadar chatzlach rochav, v'hatzlacha. We had Rabbi Yechon's chiddush that you have to replace the oil and replace the wick of an extinguished candle. In the menorah, we had the halacha that ner sheva migdal shel prokem hava. It was sort of pliable, so that you can keep the, you can clean it, but keep the cup still connected to the menorah. Okay, all the best to you, and hatzlacha rab.